And daughter Andrea's got some words to share with us today.
Hi, everyone. For those of you whom I have not met yet, my name is Andrea. I'm Joel's youngest daughter. Thanks for being here. I know it means a lot to my family and especially my mom to have your presence and support while we celebrate my dad's life. My dad was a traditional man. He had military values, as we just heard. He was the man of the house, and I distinctly remember him using that exact phrase on a number of occasions. He believed in respect, honor, and appreciation of authority. He believed that hard work was important, and providing for his family was his number one priority, it seemed to me at least. He was connected to his community through owning and operating his own business, through volunteering, by spending time with people at breakfast, or by going golfing or hunting. I have many memories of him taking care of our yard, landscaping, building the deck, fixing the fence, chopping firewood. Keeping a beautiful property seemed pretty important to him. And most of all, I remember him as a very stubborn man, right till the very end, you guys. He wanted things to be a certain way. It was his way or the highway. But on the inside, he was really just a softy with a big heart. At the ripe old age of 42, I came along into his life. When I was a little girl, I was straight up a daddy's girl, and he loved that. That man loved to snuggle his daughters. But as I grew into a teenager and then into an adult woman, we found out that I too was just as stubborn as he was. And I too expected things a certain way, and I too am a softie with a big heart. Being so similar meant that we could connect on a deeper level, but it also meant a lot of arguments. We both had quite the temper. We both believed we were right, but we often didn't have the same opinion about what the right thing was. Other than my dad, I was the one in our family who spoke my mind and made my intentions known, which wasn't always appreciated. But no matter what, I knew that I could say whatever I wanted, however different our opinions were, and he would always still love me. And I think that gave me the freedom to be the well-spoken woman that I am today. I have a couple stories that I wanted to share that just stand out to me as, you know, that's my dad. And I'm sure he wouldn't have picked out the same stories, but they make me laugh, and it's how I'll remember him, so I'm gonna share them anyway. She wanna come up? Pearl, you can come up. My daughter wants to stand with me. You wanna come up here? Okay, come on. The first story takes place when I was around 8 or 9. It was approaching Christmas time, and my dad had recently purchased a new red Ford 250 pickup truck. He loved his truck, and it had four-wheel drive, which he was quite proud of. And I remember this particular Christmas with his new truck. It seemed ridiculous to him that we should pay a premium price for a Christmas tree when we live in the country, surrounded by trees, and he had a truck and a chainsaw. So he asked me if I'd like to head out to the woods and get a Christmas tree, and of course I was up for the adventure. We headed down this gravel road to a field of trees, and when the gravel road came to an end, he paused for a bit, and then he said, you know, I can drive my truck right up to the tree of our choice. I have four-wheel drive now. And being me, not afraid at all to say my opinion about the matter, I said, well, you know, I don't think that's a good idea, Dad. I mean, the field looks pretty muddy, and I think we're going to get stuck. And he was like, I have four-wheel drive. We can go anywhere. We won't get stuck. So we drive out into the field, and our next disagreement was over the size of the tree. I don't remember exactly where we went, but it was not a Christmas tree farm. It was the forest. And even the smallest trees were big. But when you're outside and you're in nature, it is hard to estimate just how big things are. You can't. If you want to be up here, you can't touch, okay? Okay. However, when I saw the tree that we picked out, I saw how much taller it was than my dad. I again voiced my opinion and said, you know, I think that's too big. I don't think it's going to fit in our house. And he said, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. So we cut down the tree, loaded it up, and lo and behold, we were stuck in the mud. We were able to make it out of the field on our own, but not without a constant stream of cursing from my father for a good 10 minutes or so. We brought the tree home, and we tried to bring it to the house, only to find that we've cut down a 12-foot tree. And of course, it doesn't fit. No problem, my dad says. I'll just cut it down to size. Now, the top of the tree was kind of scraggly, and it kind of leaned off to one edge, so he was hoping he could just cut the top off to where it looked good. But then the bottom was too wide around, so we had to take some off the bottom as well. And unfortunately, he cut a little too much off the top, and what we were left with was what looked like a cylinder instead of the cone shape that we all desire in the perfect tree. Can you go sit with Daddy?
No.
Okay. It was kind of a disaster. I mean, it was obviously the middle of a tree. And it was always my mom and I's job to decorate the Christmas tree, and we just didn't have the heart to put any more effort into that thing. Like, it did not look good, and no amount of decorating was gonna fix it. Now, when my dad was wrong about something, and he knew it, no, not right now. Okay. He usually wouldn't just say that outright. No, it was in his silence about the matter that we all knew that he was wrong. So the next day, while he was out golfing with some buddies, my mom and I threw the cake-shaped tree down into the forest around our house. We went out to a lot. We brought home a perfectly good tree to decorate. And when my dad returned home, I remember that his only comment was simply, the tree looks good. Please go sit down. You need to sit down. Okay. Yeah, can you take her? I'm sorry. All right, my last story starts around the time I was 8 also. Apparently that was a memorable year for me. At the time we rented a house and the landlord had said no cats or dogs allowed. And my brother and I love animals, so to have no pets was not really an option. We opted for reptiles and amphibians. And if you don't already know this about us, we had all sorts of pets. Boa constrictors, an iguana, turtle, frogs, an assortment of various lizards, newts, fish, and even Australian walking sticks at one point. Pretty much anything you could keep in a tank. And as much as I loved having those pets, they were no match for my desire to have a dog, one that I could really play with. The house that we lived in was surrounded by forest, and one day, as if sent from heaven, I looked up into the trees to see a young yellow lab. When he saw me, he came running down through the trees to greet me, and it was the most magical day ever. We soon learned that the dog belonged to our neighbor on the hill behind us, and most of the time they didn't keep him tied up, so he spent many days playing with me and Ryan and the neighbor girls at our house. But being a young yellow lab pup who was full of energy, he would tear up the grass as he ran across the yard, and he would dig holes. And as I mentioned before, my dad was pretty particular about the landscaping, and he didn't appreciate the damage that this dog was causing. He would yell at the dog. He would tell him to go home. He would threaten to get his rifle out, and I'll shoot that damn dog, he would say. And of course, I was utterly in love with the dog, and his threat scared me. So it became my secret mission to play with the dog while he was at work and then escort the dog home to the neighbor house before my dad returned. But over the next 2 years, we started to realize that Harley, which was the dog's name, wasn't being properly cared for by our neighbors. He wasn't getting fed nearly enough, his ribs were poking through, and I had heard the neighbor's kids talking about how they kicked the dog often. Harley started spending more and more time around our house, and we even started putting food out on the back porch for him. And like I said before, my dad was stubborn. It took at least a year before he accepted Harley even being around our house. But as I also said, he had a very big, soft heart. And Harley worked his heart in a way I'd never seen before. At first, my dad let Harley be around the house, but definitely not allowed inside the house. And as most of you know, he sold floor covering for a living, and he hated seeing pets destroy his work. So, no dog in the house. But Harley was so good. He would sit outside the back sliding glass door and just watch us eat dinner. He was never barking or scratching at the door. He started spending nights out there on our back step. And when winter came that first year, Harley would sit right outside our door in the 30-degree weather. And my dad decided he could come in the house as long as he stayed right by the back door on a mat. And Harley just did. I don't remember having to train him. We told him to stay, and he just stayed. Well, as my dad's love for the dog started to grow, he allowed him to be in the kitchen and the dining room, but not on the carpet. And he wasn't allowed to spend the night. But then it grew to he could be in the dining room, in the kitchen, in the living room, but not down the hallway or in the bedrooms. And before you knew it, he was flat out our dog with his own giant futon to lay on in the living room. And when it came time for us to move to a new house, of course he came with us. My dad was so tenacious that it took 2 to 3 years for him to change his mind about this dog. And then his heart was so changed by Harley that he would later flat out deny that he had ever not loved and embraced Harley from the very beginning. I'd often say, "Remember how much you hated Harley at first?" whenever I was trying to convince him that he wasn't always right. And he would say, "I always loved that dog. I don't know what you're talking about." And that's how I will remember him. Someone who stuck to his story, whatever it was. A man who was tough on the outside, but had his heart easily swayed. And I guess now we'll open it up to anybody else who wanted to share a story.